Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the law of understanding. Chapter 2. The multiple laws in life and the law of understanding. Following the line of the previous chapter regarding the fact that knowledge of truth plays a crucial role in the action of truth in favor of a person's freedom, it can be observed that this aspect is described several times in the scriptures and under different prisms so that it stands in high prominence or does not pass unnoticed in any way. Similarly to the aspect of the role of the knowledge of the truth regarding the truth, it can also be seen in the scriptures, as another example, the role that understanding of the aspects that substantiate faith plays in relation to the life of faith in the Lord of an individual. When faced with the information that the Christian life is to be lived essentially through faith in Christ Jesus, many people, unfortunately, surrender to the inappropriate thought that life through faith is a life of mere obedience where understanding is not relevant, even claiming, in some cases, that faith would be synonymous with blind or unquestioned obedience. Nevertheless, the definition of life by mere obedience or devoid of understanding is not the definition of faith that the Lord left recorded in His scriptures. Faith, according to the text of Hebrews 11, is the certainty, substance, or firm foundation of hope, showing us that life by faith is accompanied by a broad exposition of Him in whom a person is invited to place one's trust, as well as it is accompanied by the granting of hopes or promises by which a person is informed in what one should believe with confidence in God, as described and respectively exemplified in the following texts. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 11. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The life of faith accompanied by proper understanding, similarly to the description of Hebrews 11, can also be observed in the text that exposes the work of the gospel in favor of those who receive it, showing that faith in God and the increasing revelation of God's righteousness always walk together. Romans 1, 16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which essential aspect is faith in the righteousness of God and the gift of righteousness offered by the Lord to the justification of all who believe in Christ, also relies on the growing revelation of this righteousness and the gift of righteousness through the gospel of God so that a person may know in what or in whom one is believing in his or her advance in faith. The scriptures do not describe the expectation that an individual would believe in Christ, as the gift of righteousness to the justification and life of all who believe in Him, without the person having even heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of salvation which He came to manifest, as explained below. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Not even from Abraham, regarded as a precursor of life by faith in God, was required to believe in God for his justification without receiving first a pre-announcement of the gospel of the Lord. Galatians 3, 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." The offer of justification, salvation, and life in Christ Jesus is a work widely exposed by God through His gospel so that people may know about it and may have abundant information about who is the Christ that was sent to accomplish the salvation. Through the subject of the systemic teaching about Christian life under the title The Gospel of the Promise, we similarly seek to highlight the fact that a Christian is called to be always prepared to expose the reason of his or her hope, thus also showing that the reason of faith of a person can be presented to other people with understanding and clarity. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Although a person cannot comprehend and explain all the depths of the love and wisdom of God that led the Lord to offer salvation in Christ to all human beings, a Christian can have broad access to the explanation about the fundamental aspects of the Lord's work in Christ Jesus to offer this salvation, as well as sharing it with others. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. The word reason, used in the last text of 1 Peter mentioned above, is the same word used to describe Christ as the living Word of God, but which can also mean the logic and set of factors that lead a person to believe in some hope. Many people claim they do not understand God's salvation to believe in it, but, on the other hand, many of these people also do not open the heart for God to show them the basic and essential points of His offer so that they understand the reason or the logic of the salvation that the Lord presents to all human beings. It might be that not all people agree with the facts that the Scriptures present as fundamental for an individual to believe in God and His gospel, but faith in God is by no means devoid of many facts that ground the reason to a person to have faith in Christ. Also, in the parable of the four types of soil on which the Word of God is sown, it can be observed that the understanding of what was sown has a vital role regarding the one who receives the seed to reach the fruits for which the seed was granted, as explained below by the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. Matthew 13, verses 18, 19, and 23. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We recall here that a more detailed approach to the parable mentioned above has also been described in the subjects The Christian and the Riches and Work Out Your Salvation, chapters Take Heed How You Hear, and Growth in Faith Comes by Hearing and Hearing by the Word of God. And continuing to go a little further on the crucial role that the knowledge of the truth, the understanding of the hope granted by God, and the understanding of the Word of God may represent for a person to enjoy freedom in Christ and the life of faith in the Lord, we can verify that the Scriptures specifically address this subject also from the standpoint of what is called the law of understanding or the law of the mind. In the book of Romans, chapters 7 and 8, mention is made of various laws that seek to act in people's lives, but among them is also mentioned the relevance of the law of understanding or the law of the mind as a central law so that the relationship with the other laws may be done adequately, as follows. Romans 7, 22-23. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. In the chapters of the book of Romans presented above, we find references to the law of Moses, to the law of sin and death, to the law of God, to the law of the Spirit and life, but in them, we also find the law that battles against the law of understanding of a person in order to bring and keep him or her under the law of sin. Showing, therefore, that there is a striking confrontation in the life of an individual that seeks that one does not attain the understanding one should reach on the law of one's understanding or the law of one's mind, even though one is surrounded by various laws on the most diverse aspects of life. Paul, an apostle of Christ, describes that the law of understanding or the law of the mind is so essential that the proper performance or non-performance of it in an individual also reflect, respectively, the aspect of a person being able to serve God or not being able to serve God according to the will of the Lord, as follows. Romans 7:25 b. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. A person who reaches an understanding according to the law of understanding or the law of the mind, and thus prevails over the law that battles against him or her, is a person who qualifies to serve God. The opposite, however, can lead an individual to be subject to a life in the flesh, which, in turn, is subject to the law of sin. The proper relationship or non-relationship of a Christian with the law of understanding or the law of the mind can be a determining factor whether this Christian, respectively, will serve God or whether he or she will serve sin. That is, with a proper understanding or with an enlightened mind, the Christian is enabled to serve God, but without the appropriate comprehension, one is inclined to serve sin, even if he or she is already a Christian. What, then, are some characteristics of the so-called law of my understanding or law of my mind? The word mind or understanding, in reference in the text of Romans 7 mentioned above, is exposed in the commentaries associated with Strong's lexicon as a term that encompasses the faculties of perception, understanding, feelings, or judgment. It refers to the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially, or to a particular way of thinking or judging, for instance, thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. So, without using the benefits of the so-called law of understanding or the law of the mind, a person may find oneself in the situation where he or she is deprived of adequately understanding the other laws that are in one's surroundings or, in other words, one may become subject to misinterpreting other laws that seek to act in one's life or through one's life. Therefore, what the Lord wants people to be aware, even before they seek to understand each of the laws of their surroundings, is for the fact that they first need to be supported by the law that can cause them to understand or discern the other laws appropriately. Before a person seeks to obtain an understanding of the most diverse aspects of life, it is the Lord's will that one, first or jointly, reaches a comprehension about the law of understanding or the law of the mind, for this law serves as a way or instrument for an adequate understanding of other understandings. Here, however, we understand that it is imperative to mention that the law of understanding or the law of the mind does not merely refer to the natural or scientific knowledge that a person has attained about the various aspects of life in the world. Before the eyes of the Lord, an enlightened mind, or which is adequately in line with the law of understanding or the law of the mind, refers to the heart that is instructed by the heavenly light or is instructed in the will of God to which one is called. There is one essential point to be highlighted regarding the matter of believing in God with understanding, and that is the fact that the understanding that the Lord wants people to have in the heart is not the understanding according to what a person thinks or what the creation thinks and defines, but rather, according to the truth that proceeds from the Lord Himself. Proverbs 3:3-8. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, and strength to your bones. The law of understanding or the law of the mind mentioned by Paul, therefore, is correlated with what we have seen in the previous chapter, in the texts above of this chapter, and, for instance, also in the first subject of this series, the core principle of life for a Christian. According to the scriptures, the law of understanding or the law of the mind is expressed by the following aspects. 1. to trust in the Lord with all the heart and not leaning on the own understanding. 2. To abide in Christ and His teachings, to know the truth and to experience the freedom that the knowledge of the truth and the truth itself can produce. 3. To acknowledge that the Lord Jesus is the true vine and that those who believe in Him are the branches, and, yet, that without Christ the branch can do nothing. If we look once more at the whole verse we quoted above in a partial way, we can see that Christ is the essence of the law of understanding. Romans 7:25. I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. If the Lord wanted blind obedience from people, or if the Lord wanted people to walk according to their own or the world's knowledge, He would not have given us texts in the Scriptures like the following. Ephesians 5:1-17. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Seeking to understand the will of God through Christ or by fellowship with Christ is where the so-called law of understanding or law of the mind is found, and through which a person comes to be aware of the truth that is powerful to operate freedom and victory over all the laws that fight against the truth and one's life. In living and walking in Christ, there is understanding about good, but also about evil, there is understanding about light, but there is also discernment about darkness. In Christ, there is discernment that goes beyond natural comprehension and is the only discernment entirely grounded in the Lord's eternal truth. 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know the law of the Spirit and life so that we may live according to it, just as he also teaches us to discern the law of sin and death so that we do not follow the way of death and properly abstain from it. Nevertheless, emphasizing it once more, a central aspect that precedes the understanding of these various laws, both of life and death, is the awareness that it is by the instruction of the Lord Himself that an individual understands the other laws that are around people in the world. Romans 8, 1-7. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are a spirit, and they are life. John 5:39-40. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Colossians 2:1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is God's will for people to have the eyes of understanding widely enlightened about the most diverse aspects of life, but the Lord also wants them to understand the so-called law of understanding or the law of the mind according to what the Lord says about it, for it is by means of this that the true discernment or enlightening of the eyes of the understanding is given about the truth which proceeds from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:4-5. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Thus, the experience or relationship with the law of understanding is expressed by the practice in which an individual exposes to the Lord every proposition of thought that comes to him or her. The individual who lives in consonance with the law of understanding does not immediately or automatically accept or receive the various propositions that come to him or her, that is, one keeps them captive or prevented from acting in one's heart until the Lord gives the discernment on how to deal with them appropriately. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To understand how to understand, or to discern how to learn to understand the will of God, as well as what is not the will of God, or to learn how an appropriate discernment is achieved, is to understand how the law of understanding or the law of my mind works, which practice allows a person to enjoy repeatedly and increasingly the benefits achieved through this law. Isaiah 50:4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Psalm 16:7-8. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand I shall not be moved. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The law of understanding in action, which allows adequate knowledge of the other essential laws of life according to the will of the Lord, is the Lord instructing the truth and his will for those who accept his instruction. The law of understanding in action is the person seeking in the Lord the instruction that one needs to receive from Christ to act and find oneself in the will of the Heavenly Father, as well as to take the necessary actions to no longer be subject to the yoke of the ways that are opposed to the will of God. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Psalms 25, verses 5, 12, and 14. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, on you I wait all the day. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalms 143, 8-10. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, in you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness.